5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up?
I'm Natalie.
And I'm Cersei. And this is
I Rewatch iCarly.
Every other week, we crack open some drinks,
rewatch iCarly,
discuss the hell out of it,
and choose a stellar fan to be the pod babe of the week at the end of each episode.
It's pretty tight.
So be sure to stay tuned.
Welcome back to another episode of And If the Business Is True, If You Left Your Moms in the Hood, I'm Sick to Your Stomach, Fam. With your host, David Spade and Adam Sandler in drag.
Woo!
I'm David Spade, if you couldn't tell.
I was going to assume so, but I wasn't 100% sure, so thank you for clarifying that.
You're a yassified Adam Sandler. Does that make you feel good?
Yeah, yassified Adam Sandler core. Gonna show up at everything in just my big ass baggy jeans and t-shirt from now on.
Dude, honestly, have you seen Hailey Bieber and Bella Hadid in their Adam Sandler core shorts? They look hot.
I know, but is it like a skinny thing or is it like a they look hot thing? The world may truly never know.
It's a toothpick leg thing.
I'm Bella Hadid thing.
Yeah, it's like I'm so hot that I can be ugly and I still look hot. And if you and your trash ass normcore body even attempt to look like me, you're just gonna look like Adam Sandler.
Okay, literally me. Did you have anything else to say or no?
Remember when I said I was cuffed last episode? Something about having a podcast. I'm not cuffed anymore.
Brings out the feral in you, you know?
Yeah.
You just start thinking about Spencer Shay, and then next thing you know, you're bad shit crazy and you're breaking up with everybody. So love the hard launch, episode one. Episode two, unhard launch the hard launch.
Rest in peace. For the record, I broke up with him.
Pour one out.
It's like I did a podcast episode and he was like, yikes.
Ew, yikes. Anyway, we're going to jump into this episode.
Tell us about it.
Well, we're starting off season 3, episode 2, both of us single again, both of us still gay, and the episode is called I Cook. So we're cooking.
We're cooking.
We're letting them cook today. It was released on September 19th, 2009. Still very dangerously close to 9/11.
Way too.
It was directed by Roger Christensen, who has directed a bunch of things, and his track record is actually pretty good. I feel like he has directed a decent amount of good episodes. But we do have our disgusting writer as Dan Schneider. So we are in for a whirlwind of an episode, to say the least. In this episode, Carly and Sam use Spencer's spaghetti taco recipe in a competition with an infamous TV chef.
Ooh.
They defeat him on his own show for the first time ever, sending him into what would seem like an inescapable depression. Been there, done that. When they find out how severe this funk is, they try to help him out of it like good kids. But will they find their good deed lead to good rewards? Or will they learn that no good deed goes unpunished and unleash the hidden wrath of a madman? And by madman, we mean pedophile.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
We are live on iCarly. The girls start the show with,
I'm Carly.
And I'm on parole. And this is iCarly.
So maybe the dentist from the last episode did press charges because she is on parole now. So,
oh, yes. They sent her ass to jail.
Yeah. She didn't beat up those prisoners, but the dentist did get her ass.
Mm-hmm. Now she is a prisoner. Before they get into their normal silly content, they're going to do a serious, in-depth interview with JoJo. And I legitimately was like, Siwa? Even though it was like decades before her time.
Me too. I was like, I don't remember JoJo Siwa on iCarly. Was she even alive at this time?
I was like, damn, she started young.
Yeah, I was like, damn, she's older than I thought she is. Like, nope.
No, not Siwa. JoJo, no. The gigantic baby.
Of course.
Giant, shirtless, hairy man with a glass of whiskey and a baby face imposed on him pops up on the screen and the girls start interrogating him. How long have you been gigantic baby? How much do you weigh? Ah! And how do you feel about the current status of our nation's economy?
Literally
I'd almost said status instead of status.
You did, not almost.
What's a status?
You absolutely did say status instead of status. I just want to say that this is, first of all, disgusting that we had to see this.
Agreed.
I had to witness a shirtless, hairy, hairy old man with a glass of, they have apple juice behind him, but we all know it's whiskey.
It's whiskey.
Whiskey. Talking about the status of our nation's economy.
Of our nation's economy.
But second of all, do we think that JoJo the Gigantic Baby, not JoJo Siwa, do we think that he is a Republican or a Democrat?
Oh, Green Party, in indubitably.
He's actually Libertarian, not even.
Yeah.
He voted for Gary Johnson just because his last name was Johnson, and it made him laugh.
Oh, definitely. That might be his father.
It might be. So, actually, that is Gary Johnson.
Daddy, you got my vote. Gary Johnson's son is a big baby. Yeah,
I believe it.
I hated this so much. Yeah. He's in a diaper. It's a naked man in a diaper.
Yeah.
This was 100% for the baby kink folk.
Yeah. Yes.
Dan Schneider just threw him a bone. Said, hey, you guys like adults in diapers? You think it's sexy? Boom, here you go. It's for you
Maybe
guys.
He is the one that he threw the bone to, because this episode is full of kinks.
Oh. Oh.
Full. Yeah. To the brim. Overflowing.
Moving on from Kink City, the girls say that they have been obsessed with a competition food show starring the infamous Ricky Flame. Not to be confused with the real-life Bobby Flay, of course.
No, of course not. Of course not.
They are inspired by Ricky Bobby Flame. They introduce a brand new cooking segment on iCarly called, Why don't you cook this? The first recipe they're going to be cooking is spaghetti tacos.
Woo! Of course. We're finally getting the secret recipe.
Yeah, the crazy recipe that I definitely couldn't guess.
Yeah, I would have never guessed spaghetti in a taco shell with spaghetti sauce and meatballs. Visionary.
Never been seen before, never been done before. Shouldn't have been seen before, shouldn't have been done before. Abomination unto God.
Abomination. But they give credit to Spencer for this wonderful creation or abomination. And Sam says that Spencer's real name is Letitia McPeanuts. Now, is this a racist joke? Is it a nut joke? Is it a double whammy? And Carly's just like, no, it's not.
I think that this is actually an homage to the Windrush generation, which is where post World War II, you know, of course, the colonies that Britain owned, quote unquote, well, they pressured Jamaicans into fighting World War II for them. So and during the Windrush generation, there were a bunch of Jamaican and other black folk who were granted citizenship in countries like Ireland. And so I'm guessing Letitia McPeanuts is a black Irish woman from the Windrush generation.
Wow. You heard it here first.
Historical homage.
Logic doesn't need to be on the phone because we've got Cersei, the rapper, right here.
Who can relate? Who studied history? I mean, of course, if they were going for that social commentary, I think it'd be it. But I do think it is racist.
Yeah.
They said, a name that sounds like a black woman.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to make her last name a nut joke. Got her.
Got and a Mick. They said, you know what? While we're at it, fuck the Irish. Fuck the Irish. Throw them under the bus, too.
How many people can we offend in one name? Let's keep it going.
I bet they were in the writer's room like, should we do Mick Peanuts or Peanut Stein? And they were like, we're all Jewish, so let's not do Stein.
Mick Peanut it is.
Man, changing my last name to Mick Peanut. The girls transition and they go, and now a word from our Spencer, diphthong. And it's just Spencer with the word and definition for diphthong.
No definition. It's just the word.
It's just the word?
It's just the word. It says
diphthong.
A word from our Spencer. And then it says, in quotes, diphthong. And he has this hat that's just like clapping. There's no definition. They don't define it at all. Just the word.
Mandela effect. There was a definition when I watched it.
No, there wasn't. I'm dumb.
Mandela effect. I have bad memory.
Mandela effect. I just didn't pay attention.
Mandela effect. Can I take the test on a different day? I need to review my notes.
Mandela effect. I have ADHD.
Mandela effect. ADHD is actually a real disability.
It's ableist if you don't believe the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm. What she said. I do think that a word from our Spencer is probably the funniest thing I've ever heard.
The word from our Spencer also made me crack the fuck up. That was so funny.
It's so good.
It was so stupid. It was dumb.
It's so fucking good.
And they did misspell diphthong. There is an H.
Diphthong. They misspelled diphthong.
I had to Google before you explained it to me because I couldn't remember what it was. And it's a sound formed by a combination of two vowels in a single syllable, mm-hmm. in which the sound begins as one vowel and moves towards another, as dictionary.com says. An example is coin, loud, and side. So this is a word from our Natalie.
I just think it's crazy that this is the second time we've had to define diphthong on this podcast.
Is it?
Why are they using this word so much? Yeah.
I don't know. Why do they love this Mandela effect? I have ADHD. I do not remember the first time we had to do this.
Didn't you say that I had to Google it because I couldn't remember what it was?
Yeah.
Meaning like you couldn't remember the last time we talked about it?
I just didn't know what it meant, to be quite honest. You know I'm illiterate, so.
Oh, no, we went over this and I read the definition.
I believe it.
This is just like kumquat. We're like, we started talking about it and I was like, we definitely talked about this before.
Yes, we're having deja vu right now.
Like they have an arsenal of just words they like to use.
Yeah, diphthong must be another one. So add that to the list. Venmo is 50 cents every time they say diphthong. We'd have a dollar.
Do you get deja vu? Olivia Rodrigo, everybody.
She's in the studio.
Vampire.
You probably already know this, but 3 out of 4 Americans are dehydrated. That's 75% of us. Dehydration can cause fatigue, brain fog, wrinkles, and a whole slew of other things. I hate butt chugging water and running to the bathroom every 5 minutes, and I'm so happy that there's an easier way to hydrate. Liquid IV uses breakthrough science of cellular transport technology to deliver hydration to the bloodstream faster and more efficiently than water alone. Just add the non-GMO electrolyte powder to your water and let CTT do the rest. And even better, our listeners get 25% off plus free shipping when using code IverywatchICarly or the link in our episode description. Stay sexy and hydrated.
Cersei and I have shared our struggles with ADHD, anxiety, and depression with y'all countless times, and thankfully, we've both been able to talk to licensed professionals to help us navigate our lives while dealing with our mental health struggles. That's why we are so excited to be sponsored by BetterHelp, who is here to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. And trust me, sometimes just being able to talk to someone about what is going on in your life can be very beneficial. BetterHelp has a broad range of expertise in their network of over 20,000 therapists, while offering video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't even have to see anyone on a camera if you don't want to. And to top it all off, everything is completely confidential. You just need to fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you will get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. I Rewatch iCarly listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/IRIC. That's betterhelp.com/IRIC.
Well, we're in the school hallway and we see a random man.
And we're shooting it up.
Sorry.
We see a random man in the school hallway working on Sam's locker.
And he's shooting it up.
Who turns out to be someone who used to date Sam's mom, of course. Before he leaves, he asks Sam to tell her mom that he really misses her. Like, really misses her. Your boyfriend. Your ex-boyfriend. Sam shoos him off like a pathetic little puppy, and we learn that her locker was fitted with a security system that delivers an electric shock to anyone who tries to break in. She tests out this brand new system on a hot dog on a stick, coming for Tebow's job.
Yeah.
But Sam's mom's pussy must be so good.
Delicious.
So good. She's got these men on their hands and knees
banging on her daughter's locker.
Yes, literally, like, doing random odd jobs for her daughter after they've broken up, and like begging her daughter to be like, please,
yeah,
let me back, let me hit it again, I beg, give me a crumb of puss,
let me hit it again,
let me hit it again, let me hit your mom again, please.
Good for her.
Not in like a hit her way, like,
hey, let me beat up your mom's puss again. Not her, I don't want to beat her up,
let me beat that puss up, please.
I want to annihilate that puss
please. And Sam's just like, ew, please get the fuck away from me and my mom's punani. But Spencer is like, Sam's mom pussy, and sprints into the school in his robe, PJs, and little slippies. But stops to ask Sam if that's a charred knockwurst. He continues to say that he hitched a ride from a guy who sells pens in order to get here to tell them that the Food TV Network wants to interview them about the spaghetti tacos. They absolutely chose to say knockwurst instead of bratwurst or hot dog, probably because it's closer to a penis joke. Like the old knocker, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, what knock was.
Yeah.
It seemed weird, but I didn't. I chose to turn my brain off.
I Googled it because I was like, I've never heard of a knockwurst. And I wanted to know if it was even real. And it is real. I cannot tell you the difference between a knockwurst and a bratwurst because I stopped paying attention after it was real. But I stand by my statement of it sounded like a penis joke.
I mean, I thought knockers were tits.
That's
like, she's got great knockers.
Oh, pecker. I was thinking of pecker. Maybe that's what it was.
Oh. Either way, it was weird.
Yeah, I don't like that they're calling it. Why? Just stick with the hot dog.
Say hot dog, like a normal.
Hot dog. Get your hot dogs here.
I would also like to point out that this is the first phallic food of the episode and the third of the season, and we are in the opening scene of the second episode.
Yes.
So
Dan Schneider is really coming out swinging.
Coming out knocking.
Coming knocking. More importantly, why is Spencer, a grown man, in his PJs, a robe, and slippies in a school full of children?
Oh, easy. He wants the kids to see his knot work. Knockwurst?
Knockwurst.
Can't even say it.
Of
he
course.
Wants the kids to see his penis.
Of course.
His little pee-pee.
Yeah, his knockwurst was swanging.
Yeah.
As he sprinted.
He was like, knock this bitch.
Well, Spencer is saying how he doesn't care that he invented the tacos, that his knockwurst is slanging around in this school full of children. And that this is going to be such great exposure for iCarly. That's all he cares about.
Yeah, and he's going to expose himself to the children of the school.
Yes, he is. Well, he gets his punishment because he accidentally leans on Sam's locker and then gets electrocuted. There are literal jolts of electricity that you can see. And then he falls down and starts convulsing.
He's dying.
Yeah, literally we watched him die on TV. And again,
rest in peace, Spencer.
Like, not even 5 minutes into the episode.
No more words from our Spencer. Just kidding.
That was good.
He lives. Thank you. We're back at the Shea apartment. And Freddie brings Spencer some water. Carly assures him that Sam didn't mean to almost kill him. And Spencer's like, you know what? I don't even care. Because while I was on the brink of death being electrocuted by a locker at a high school I should have never even been in, I saw future. Not the rapper. The future.
Future.
He saw Nug Nug from Galaxy Wars at the Groovy Smoothie. And him and Nug Nug hugged. Spencer runs to the Groovy Smoothie to see his future before his eyes.
To experience that hug from Nug Nug. But wow, I can't wait for this amazing B plot to play out. I really can't wait to see what happens with Spencer and Nug Nug. This is so exciting, guys.
That's so funny because the second he was like, it's okay, I don't care that I got electrocuted, I saw the future. My first thought was, cool, a dumb B plot coming at us. Cool. Yeah.
And then they said, oh, what's the future? He hugs Nug Nug from Galaxy Wars. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less, no adventure, just hugs.
I can't even talk about it. I have nothing to add.
We have to move on. We have to move on. We'll just have to wait and see what happens. But in the meantime, we're in the iCarly studio, and the gang is getting interviewed by the Food Network about their innovative spaghetti tacos. The interviewer asks them to tell her more about these tacos, and Freddie just goes, I'm Freddie Benson.
I'm Freddie Benson.
Like a fucking robot. It was giving homeschool. Yeah. His chip malfunctioned.
Yeah, he's like, I'm Freddie Benson.
I'm Freddie Benson. He's twitching. He actually did get electrocuted from Sam's knockwurst. So the girls decide to save him from embarrassment and begin to explain the lore of the spaghetti tacos. Then Ricky Bobby Flame enters and challenges the gang to a food fight right now.
Bing, 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 bing.
Mr. Ricky is played by Al Espinoza, who has a handful of one-episode appearances. I was fully expecting to look him up and, like, him be something or, like, from somewhere that I recognized or one of the directors or something like that. Like, I was, like, ready for that to be the lore.
Yeah, and you know...
But no, he's just a guy.
You know why you expected him to be somebody? Because it seemed like if they actually... were to cast a real actor, they would have done a better job because this guy is such a flop. Like, he's such an insult to the real Robert Flavor. Like, Bobby Flay emits raw and real and powerful sex appeal, and this guy gives raw and real pedophile.
Yes. Like, and that's why I thought he was part of the show.
Yes. That's exactly what I thought too. I was like, oh, this has to be one of the directors. Like,
yes.
Because he's just such a weak.
He's just a guy.
I don't want to say a weak actor, but he's such a strange choice for this role. Like, we all know who Bobby Flay is, and Bobby Flay is so charismatic and so likable. And there's just something about him. I mean, maybe I'm just in love with Bobby Flay. But
no, it's not just you. It's everybody who has a brain.
Everyone wants to fuck Bobby Flay. Like, everybody wants to fuck Bobby Flay.
Except for Dan Schneider, apparently.
I truly couldn't. I'm so disappointed to find out that, like, this man is not part of the show because he's why would they do Bobby Flay like this?
Girl.
He gives a knockoff version of the governor from The Walking Dead. I didn't like that.
And so then I was also shocked because I looked up the interviewer. She is played by Angela Martinez, who also has just been in a handful of one episode appearances, as well as some background characters in some big movies. And the big movie that I'm referring to is Evan Almighty, of course.
And you know what? She did her job well.
She did. Yeah, that's why I'm like, oh, she has to be like some hidden actress or something because she played it. And then Mr. fucking No Flavor... Bobby Flay.
Bobby No Flay.
Is just some guy.
Just some fucking dude.
Well, Sam asked the important question of who the fuck casted this episode and what do they win if they beat Ricky Flame? And Ricky says that he has never lost, but if they somehow miraculously win, they'll win a year's worth of steaks. Sam follows up to clarify whose definition of a year's worth of steaks he's talking about here. Because mama, we already know, she loves her fucking meats.
I feel like it is a bit problematic to have a child say, mama loves her meats. But what are you going to do at this point?
She didn't actually say that. Carly did say that Sam takes her meat seriously, though. So that's pretty much one and the same.
Either way,
they said Sam loves that dick.
Ow, ow, ow.
Which we know is false because she was wearing a rainbow ring last episode.
We at the Groovy Smoothie. Spencer is loitering, and Tebow asks why he's being creepy. Spencer Great explains question. The vision he saw, and Tebow is like, stop loitering, you fucking loser. Buy a smoothie or kill yourself. Spencer orders a Tingleberry Blitz, which is uncomfortably close to Dingleberry Blitz.
Yes.
So.
Very uncomfortably close. They love...
What the hell is a dingleberry?
A dingleberry. We know what it is. We know what Dan was trying to do, what he was saying. There's not much else to it. He's just not good at being creative.
Big boo.
But we are back at the Shay apartment, and it's food fight time, and it's a race to the fucking finish.
Also, Beat Bobby Flay is such a better title than Food Fight.
Yes, I agree. It makes me seem like they're
because you know what?
Food.
I would beat Bobby Flay off.
I would let Bobby Flay beat this pussy. But it's a race to the finish. Who will win? The plucky iCarly kids or No Flavor Flav Ricky Flame? Sam is like, what the fuck does this bitch mean by plucky? And Carly guesses, plump and lucky? The countdown starts and they plate their tacos to present them for the judges. Carly pluckies out Sam's Band-Aid from one of the tacos, but tried to fix it by saying, it's just a flavor patch. So Dan is body shaming them into thinking that they're fat. That's why he's calling them plump.
Cool. Jeanette McCurdy, known eating disorder victim. Let's call her fat.
Let's call her plump.
Also, she's tiny.
Yeah, they all are. They're literal children. Crazies. Also, they would literally be disqualified for this Band-Aid.
Yeah.
If the real Bobby Flay was here in the flesh, they would be disqualified because that is disgusting.
He'd be like, and there's a Band-Aid in my freaking food. I'm not eating that. I'm not eating a Band-Aid in my food.
You're telling me to eat this Band-Aid? Ew, you sickos.
I'm a New York boy. I'm not going to eat a Band-Aid, okay?
Out of New York.
You know, some guys are going to eat a pre-slob knob. I'm not going to have a pre-Band-Aided
hell
meal.
No, that shit is not slobbed. That shit is actual blood. But that is fucking disgusting and not safe, and logic is still nowhere to be found because they would have ended the show right then and there. It's fake news.
Was ridiculous.
Boo, Dan Schneider.
Big boo. He also got big boobs, if you know what I mean.
Big knockwurst, if you would.
We're at the Groovy Schmoovy. Spencer's doing a pee-pee dance outside of the bathroom and asks a random old lady to watch the front door to see if Nug Nug from the planet Juveron arrives. She just looks at him and goes, crazy, and whacks him with her umbrella, calls him a nerd, and leaves. And I was like, you know what? Slay to this lady. That's the only thing you can do in this situation.
You know what?
Crazy.
I was being sarcastic before, but the B plot has redeemed itself. Loved just for this moment.
Just for that
scene. Get smacked.
Crazy. Boom. Nerd.
We are back at the Shay apartment, and it's time for the judges to vote after they've eaten their Band-Aid slobbed knob tacos.
Delicious.
The first one goes, Ricky, this one's for you. My vote is for you. Love you, smooches. And Ricky's like, thanks so much. They definitely fucked.
He comes a little bit.
Yeah, he literally came. It was true. The next judge votes for iCarly, and then the last judge... She starts with a, everyone should be so proud of what they did here today, spiel, but then ends up voting for iCarly. And that's history, folks. Ricky has lost and iCarly wins.
I just cannot believe it is so insane that the entire plot of this episode hinges on the fact that this guy never loses, and we're supposed to presume that he's been battling literal chefs and has never lost, but he loses to three, not even kids,
no,
three kids who don't cook. It's not even like this is like Great British Bake Off Junior's edition or like Junior Top Chef. They are simply normal children.
Yeah, and one of them put a Band-Aid in the taco, and he's still fucking lost. So how bad of a chef is he?
Truly. I mean, logic isn't here. We know it. We know it. But I'm still screaming at the sky, man.
Yeah, like literally fists are in the air. Begging logic to join the chat. Begging. And yet here we are, nowhere to be found, ever.
Nowhere to be found.
Well, the gang is ecstatic that they somehow won and beat not Bobby Flay.
Ricky
but
Bobby.
Sam asks where her stakes are, and the camera pans over to Ricky Bobby Flame, who is about to literally kill himself in the background. He goes, I lost. He's shaking. He's convulsing. And he just falls to the ground and curls up into fetal position, crying, sobbing. They have to cut the cameras. It's too sad.
You're a grown man, dude. A grown
Get up.
Man.
Get up, you fucking
Get
pussy.
Get up, pussy.
Anyway, speaking of pussies, we are in the school. Sam's locker is smoking, and it's because she's grilling up a free steak
like her
on her
pussy.
Gary Coleman grill. Oh, and I. But so this Gary Coleman grill, this grill originally appears in Drake and Josh, and it has an MP3 feature embedded in it. But I think that I genuinely confused the celebrity grill, the George Foreman grill, and the Coleman grill, which is just a Coleman is the brand name. And I think I confused those two instances of a celebrity grill and then the Coleman grill. Like, so I thought that I thought Gary Coleman really did make a grill. Like, when I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, Gary Coleman's grill. We all know that exists.
Yes, of course.
And then I thought to myself, could this be true? And I Googled it, and it was like, no, this is a Dan Schneider bit.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, cool. I thought Gary Coleman had a grill, like, my whole life.
No, the way that Dan Schneider literally gaslit us so much into thinking that these things are real.
Yeah.
Because it's like I knew it was wrong, too, but it just didn't click in my brain until you pointed it out that it was wrong. I was just like, oh, yeah. Gary Coleman.
Well,
not George Foreman, even though I knew that.
Because it is really clever.
Yeah. Yeah, give him his flowers sometimes.
But it's so clever because we know that George Foreman is a celebrity.
Yeah.
And then, like, Coleman is an actual brand. So to call it, like, that's clever. That's smart.
Yeah.
And he tricked us all.
Let's not give him too much praises.
Anyway, Carly runs over to tell the gang that Gary Coleman grills aren't real. No, Carly runs over to tell the gang that Ricky has quit everything.
Woo.
Sam and Fred go, he quit everything? They both say it at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
Sam turns and hits Freddie, and then Freddie slaps her back, and then they just move on. There's zero escalation.
Yeah.
I'd like to note that Sam has every single member of Fall Out Boy hung up in her locker, except for the lead singer, Patrick Stump. And in his place is known pedophile and Latin legend, Drake Bell. Odd choice.
You mean Drake Campagna?
Yeah, my bad. Drake Campagna.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I have nothing to say. That's crazy.
Carly tells the gang they've got to do something. So they all agree to stop by Bobby Flay's house.
Bobby Flay's house. Just a couple of kids going to go see a grown adult at his house.
Yeah,
because he's being
stuff.
A little fucking puss.
If a bunch of kids came to my house, I think I'd kill myself. I'm like, you're not coming in here. What are you doing? You want me to get arrested? Who do you think I am?
I would call the police on myself. I'd be like, why do you know where my apartment is? What the fuck? How did you find me?
Why did you think I was going to let you in?
Weirdos? Yeah. Well, he does. He lets them in because we're at Ricky Flame's apartment. And Ricky is throwing a full-blown tantrum in his twin XL bed.
Twin XL bed.
He's got to be like 6 foot, and his feet, you could see, are at the edge of the bed. Like, there's no way they're not dangling off. And the announcer, who is his assistant, his lover, his girlfriend, I have no idea, is somehow in his house.
Somebody.
And explains to the kids that he's been like this ever since he lost to them.
I just have to say, this apartment is so fucking weak for the world's, like, greatest chef, whatever.
Yes.
It looked like ass. They could have tried a little harder.
It looked like a teenage boy's apartment. Like, it looked like
the
announcer was his mom, and he was at his mom's house, like, staying there. Like, this was just, like, childhood bedroom.
Exactly. And I just like to say that Bobby Flay loses on Beat Bobby Flay all the time, and he's so respectful about it. He's like, great job, chef. And you know what that is? That's big dick energy.
That is. It is big dick
energy.
This
is little dick behavior.
This really, truly is.
Little dick behavior.
Mr. Ricky Flame is actually the gigantic baby JoJo that we saw in the beginning of this episode. Because he's a man baby.
Foreshadow?
Ooh. Well, Carly tries to make Mr. JoJo, the man baby, feel better by saying, so what if three celebrity chefs think our food was better than yours? Bobby beats her with a pillow. Mm-mm. And Fred Mm-mm. asks Sam to try her trick to wake up her mom. And Sam yells, "Get up, you lazy blob. There's a cop at the door and he's got a warrant." So we have child abuse and knowing your Fourth Amendment rights happening all in the matter of seconds from each other. So that was a pretty crazy dialogue that just happened.
Dynamic.
Yeah, I got whiplash. But Carly tells Ricky that he just needs to go out and enjoy some fresh air. And she opens the window to full-blown downpour. And she goes, classic Seattle.
Wow, this is like so LA right now. Like, it's like a total downpour. Check on your SoCal friends. This is what we're going through as we speak.
Well, Ricky is still acting up like a little puss-puss and gigantic man baby. Wham, and the gang wham. Is still some, for some reason, trying to cheer him up by giving him the ingredients for a flame-bow salad, which he made during one of his episodes of Food Fight, where he made the competitor cry like a little baby, like he is now. Probably not as bad. But they finish by handing him a knife and say, "Everyone loves a big, sharp knife." And they try making him chop up the cucumber, but he just plops his head into the salad instead. Again, like a baby.
I just like to say, the big-ass cucumber is the second overly phallic thing in this episode. And also, I feel like putting his head in the salad. You know how people say he tossed my salad?
Good point.
His head was in the salad.
He was tossing that salad.
I don't know.
He was.
There were connections to be made.
Face deep.
Call me New York Times. Only real ones are going to get that.
But this little man child just beat a child with a pillow. He's a little pussy and he's on suicide watch as we speak.
Like, he's on suicide
giant
watch.
Giant knife.
It's so real for that. So real.
This was
real.
Dangerous to hand him a giant fucking knife. He could have killed one of them, if not all of them, or himself, or both.
And then himself.
A little murder suey.
That's so true, bestie.
So true.
We're back at the Groovy Smoothie. It's closing time, and Spencer's closing getting kicked time. Out by some twink we've never seen before. I guess Tebow doesn't do nights. Spencer's like, "Oh, I was just waiting for..." Never mind. It's stupid. And leaves. The aww from the fake crowd literally sounds so depressing. You'd think he was dying.
He is.
As soon as he leaves, Nug Nug and his handler enters. Nug Nug says he feels like he's supposed to be hugging someone. He goes to the bathroom. Right when he goes to the bathroom, Spencer enters to pay the twink for a smoothie. And the crowd goes, aww. And then Spencer leaves, and the crowd goes, aww. Nug Nug enters, and the crowd goes, aww. And then Spencer, for no reason, re-enters.
Yes.
Nug Nug and him lock eyes. Nug Nug chucks his smoothie. They run towards each other. Nug Nug leaps. Also, Nug Nug is played by a little person. They make this little person, who is a grown man, jump into Spencer's arms and wrap his legs around his torso. Spencer lifts his fist up in the air in triumph.
Don't you forget about me.
Forget about me.
Don't.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when I saw this. I was like, don't.
Let that man back down on the damn ground, Spencer, you fucking weirdo.
Yeah. I hate when grown people treat little people. Like, did you see that that clip of Mike Tyson and Hasbulla? And Hasbulla's like fake fighting him. And then Mike Tyson like forgets that Hasbulla's like 21. And he like grabs him and wraps it around and then goes, nom, in his ear.
I think I have,
it's
actually.
It's crazy.
That's literally,
and then Hasbulla
right
goes,
no. That's Spencer and
Nug-Nug
right now. Like, that's crazy.
Like, I was like, that's a grown man. I literally think that, like, people think Hasbulla is a little kid.
Yeah.
Because Spencer definitely thought Nug-Nug was a little kid.
Yeah.
Anyway, the bald handler is just watching this. smiling.
He's enjoying every second of it.
Don't. This is the first and last actual Nug Nug sighting. He's played by Martin Kleba, who has been in countless things, including Pirates of the Caribbean and more.
When you were saying this little person, I was going to say, well, yeah, this little person is played by Martin Kleba, who was in Pirates of the Caribbean. He, like, you would know who he is. Like, he played a very big role in Pirates of the Caribbean.
I can't remember.
He's been in, like, big movies. He's been in a lot of things. Like, as soon as he came out, I recognized him.
Oh!
Yes.
Wait, yeah, I've seen this guy everywhere.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's famous. And so they got him to dress up as Nug Nug and then Spencer hold him. And this is probably why this is the first and last sighting of Nug Nug, because they probably couldn't book him again.
Yeah, because this is like a, he's a super famous actor.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, ladies, and gentlemen dailies. Do you want to save money, have fun, and be satisfied? Well, Adam and Eve and iRewatch iCarly are here for you. Get 50% off a new toy, lube, or almost anything else you desire. Simply use IRIC at checkout to claim your discount. You'll also get 3 bonus items and 6 movies for free on top of free shipping. What? It doesn't matter what you choose, all will be packaged and sent to you discreetly. This is an exclusive offer specific to the iRewatch iCarly podcast, so be sure to support us by using code IRIC at checkout when you shop at adamandeve.com. Have fun and you're welcome.
I do want to go back for a second, though, because I want to talk about Nug Nug and his handler's smoothie orders.
Yes.
Because they order a strawberry splat and a blueberry bang. And the twink repeats back, splat and a bang, coming right up. Which is, one, a sex joke, and two, homophobic that they made the twink say that.
Yeah. Like everything just sounds wrong.
Splat and a bang? Banging and coming?
Mm-hmm.
Dan?
And he didn't even get the order right. I don't think he knows how it works.
No.
You gotta bang, then splat.
Yeah. Maybe he pre-came. Splat and then bang.
Maybe that's the only coming he can do. Pre-come.
Disgusting. We've gotta move on.
Yeah, we have.
We're back at the Shea apartment, and Fred enters the apartment, looks Carly up and down, and says, nice PJs.
Okay, bitch.
And when he says that, she says, it's Saturday morning. She's hungover. And he tells her, oh, I know. Your hair, it's a fucking mess right now. Get it the fuck together. But there's no time for more pleasantries, as they've got V-mail from Ricky Bobby Flame.
I just cannot believe the audacity of this little boy to walk into her apartment and be like, hey, by the way, you look mid.
Yeah.
Mid as fuck right now in your own fucking home. Fix your hair, uggo.
Less than mid. He said, I don't give a fuck.
Like, your balls have not even dropped yet.
Well, we know after the last episode that they did drop, but still.
True. My bad.
But anyway, they open up Ricky Flame's V-mail that they've received, and Ricky Flame's wife, girlfriend, hostage, somebody who is not the announcer that we already met, this is a new woman, is videotaping him, and Ricky is yelling at her the entire time of the video, because of course she's a bimbo who doesn't know how to use the camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
She pans down to her feet as he's talking and goes, aw, do my feet look fat? The camera lingers for 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, almost a full 10 seconds lapse.
No, thank you.
On the screen. And finally, the camera leaves the feet. I counted. It was like uncomfortably long how long the feet were on the screen. And of course, it's like a foot fetisher's dream, because they're painted toes in like heels. Mm-hmm. And it's just like
jail.
Dan Schneider did this on purpose.
Jail.
Prison. Bimbo penitentiary immediately. It was so long, so uncomfortable. And now that we know everything, it's sick.
Get out of here.
But I want to point out too that the woman who voices this woman is Melissa Disney, who is distant relative of Walt Disney.
On Nickelodeon?
So Dan Schneider got a distant relative of Walt Disney on Nickelodeon and subjected her as a victim to his foot fetish.
This is loaded. This was calculated. There were layers to this.
Yes. How crazy is that?
This is how I felt when Eric Kavanaugh got appointed to the Supreme Court.
Brett.
And then it came. Brett. Yeah. Who's Eric? Trump?
I have no idea.
Who knows? But yes, this reminds me when Brett Kavanaugh got appointed to the Supreme Court. And then, like, you saw, like, so many pictures and videos from the past resurface of him with, like, various, like, right-wing leaders. And you realize that they've been planning this for years for him to be the next Supreme Court justice.
Yeah.
And, Dan Schneider was cooking with this one.
Yeah, he said, oh, I cooked.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I cook and I cook. Be ready.
I cooked with this. This was sick and twisted, and who it is makes it even more sick and twisted. But Ricky saves us from this twisted foot fetish fantasy of Dan Schneider and takes the camera from Dan's victim, and he says he found a way to always win. He tells the kids to come to the rec center on Saturday. And he finishes by yelling at his dumb bimbo hostage victim.
And she is looking to make toast. And she's like, I can't find any toast. All you have is bread. And he's like, you put the toast in the toaster. Or you put the bread in the toaster and that makes toast. And I'm just like, no woman is actually this stupid.
No.
And honestly, if someone this stupid exists... this is why I hate when men are like, my wife's so dumb. Because it's like, okay, you chose to marry her.
Yeah.
Like, if you are okay with having a stupid woman as a wife, like, that's on you, bestie, because smart women exist. But also, no woman is actually this fucking stupid.
No.
I just hate men. I hate men. They write women who are so impossibly dumb. And bitches like that don't even exist in real life. And you know who's actually fucking stupid? Men. Men have no home training. I knew a dude who tried to put tortilla chips in the fridge and be like, oh, that's how they're going to last longer. No, bitch. Air makes them stale. Not the fucking warm air, you dumbass.
Okay. Bimbo Penitentiary for that man and for the writer, a.k.a. Dan Schneider, and everybody who wrote this episode, everybody who works on this show, everybody Bimbo Penitentiary.
Jail.
Because she's not a bimbo. You guys are. And again, it's always the women hating, too. Like, exactly like you said. If you didn't want to date her, newsflash, break up with her. Like, why is she recording?
No, men are afraid of being alone. Men are afraid to be alone.
Well,
they fear it. And that's why they yell at women. They're like, you're going to be alone with your cats. Dude, that sounds marvelous.
I'd rather be alone than be with you.
Literally, a man could offer me a ring right now and be like, but get rid of your cats. And I'd be like, I literally hope you die in a ditch.
Yeah.
My cats are worth 10 times the amount of your life. Hate to break it to you.
Yeah, if that, like on a bad day.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anywho.
We are at a rec center wrestling room, I would just like to say I don't even want to read the notes from this scene. That's how.
Me either.
How upset I am about this episode.
I could have gone my entire life without watching this scene. I could go my entire life without talking about this scene.
Yeah. And I'd be a better person.
I would be too.
Well,
but
we'll get through this as quickly as
possible. Have to do things that are hard.
Yeah, I'm so brave for this.
We do this for you guys. We do this for you.
All right, we are we're at like a wrestling meet with a bunch of young boys.
Very young.
A kid gets up. It's his turn, but he's like, I don't want to fight.
Yes.
But then Ricky Flame appears, saying that he's ready to go. He goes and wrestles the child and is like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to be able to beat this one. And then pins him to the ground.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then he does the exact same thing to another child.
Yep. Two in a row he pins down.
Mm-mm.
And that second child that he pins down, his name is Skylin Brooks, who actually has an impressive resume for a 24-year-old. He played Quincy in Empire, Ra-Ra Kipling in The Get Down, just to name a few. But this kid is like young and been in a lot of things very consistently too. So shocker that this is the guy that has the really impressive resume instead of Mr. Ricky Bobby Flame.
I mean, honestly, I believe it, because when he got pinned down by Ricky Bobby Flay, he was like, what is wrong with this guy? And his delivery got a laugh from me. So kudos to that kid.
This was his big break.
Yeah. Ricky Bobby Flay is like, I realized that the age limits on this community wrestling team are actually suggested. Mm-hmm. So they have to let me play because it's not a hard and fast rule. The gang is like, why are you doing this? You love cooking. And he's like, I don't actually love cooking. I just love winning. Mm. Okay, Shane. What's that fucking actor's name?
I don't know.
Okay, Charlie Sheen. Oh. Don't know where I got Shane from.
Same thing.
He challenges Carly to a fight and then grabs her and pins her feeble body to the ground.
Yes.
His arm mere millimeters away from her tiny breastises. Mm-hmm. He starts boasting and is like, the flame cannot be put out. The flame's gonna burn forever. And Carly looks at Sam and is like, get him, bitch.
Eat him alive. Literally pedophile. Like, we were joking about it before, but like, this is
literally, I was so uncomfortable.
It's a fact now. We've seen it with our own two eyes. We're witnessing it in this moment. Like, why does he want to touch little kids who are the height of where his waist is?
I don't know.
AKA where his penis is.
His penis.
And then he manhandles Carly and lays on top of her. Like, when he pins her, he literally lays on top of her.
I hate it.
And he's like, yeah, you can't extinguish this. And he's, like, slapping the floor. Fucking freak. Disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, what? I hated it.
The reason why no legit actor got casted for this role is because no legit actor would fucking do this. Freaks.
They're like, vibes are weird. Vibes are a little
vibes
weird.
Vibes are just like a little bit off.
Thank God for Sam Puckett, though, because she grabs that man-child by the arm and has him pinned on the ground within seconds. The crowd goes wild. He has finally lost again. Ooh. Everyone in the room starts taunting him as he's curled up on the floor crying in the fetal position, and all those little boys that he was just molesting come up to him and they're like, yeah, you lost, you big fat loser, get owned, bitch.
He's like,
Carly asks the gang if they want to go celebrate by eating some steaks. Mm-hmm. Sam replies, shush, yeah. And Fred replies, carne.
Here we go again with Fred.
And it was just as uncomfortable when he said it.
Yeah. Here we go again with the unnecessary Spanish from Fred. His chip got rebooted earlier in the episode, and now he's on Spanish mode again.
Boop, 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 boop.
Stupid.
Yeah. He said, me llamo Fredwardo.
I'm Freddie Benson.
Me gusta pussy. I genuinely hated every second of the scene, and mm-hmm. the fact that this is literally the ending, that's it. That's the ending.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
It makes the episode faux-sucking, stupid, and pointless.
Yes.
Like, nothing. What was the point of this?
There was no point. The point was Dan Schneider getting his fetishes out for the adult babies, for the foot fetishes, making as many uncomfortable penis jokes as he can.
Kill me. Kill me.
And making as many grown adults touch and or be naked near children. Ew. That was the point of this episode. And then also having a little person jump into Spencer's arms. That's it. That's the point.
There's layers to this. It's like a rancid onion.
Yeah. There's no good part.
Mm-mm.
But that's the fucking episode. And then we get into this lovely post-credit scene where Sam and Carly jump Freddy, hold him hostage, and tell him to tell the people to go to iCarly.com, or Carly is going to stick her finger up his nose. What? Did you think I was going to say ass?
Mm.
Sickos.
Yes, I did. Anus, in fact.
Anus, in fact. He begs, please, Carly, not up my ass. Not up my ass. Please, not after this
episode.
Put it up there.
Please, do it.
He pleads for his life. He begs. He does what the killers ask of him as they hold him hostage, but it doesn't matter because Carly sticks her finger up his nose and ass, a little two in the nose, one in the stink, At the same time,
double penetration.
Anyway, he screams out in pain, and then the episode ends for real, for real.
Sucked. Hated it.
It was such a wild ride that I hated that I was on.
Traumatizing, actually.
Truly.
And which, this is disappointing, because usually Dan Schneider's episodes are at least funny.
Yes, I know. And like I said, Roger Christensen, he's had some good episodes too. So like, what the fuck happened here?
So what was this?
What was this?
Like, you know, I can excuse Dan Schneider being a pedophile up until he isn't funny anymore.
Yes.
Because at least he was a funny pedophile. Now he's an unfunny pedophile.
Yeah.
At least use your powers for good.
Yeah, you can't win at all.
That's a joke, everybody. Don't take it seriously. That was a joke. That was a joke. I said something facetious. God, people can't say anything anymore without getting canceled. Am I right?
Yeah, Miss White Comedian. Anyway, tell us who the pod babe of the week is.
This week's pod babe of the week is Nat's sexy urgent care doctor who gave her steroids to help her fight a rash caused by an allergic reaction to her new medication.
Not an STD.
Not an STD. If you are listening to this, call me. The rash is gone. So shout out to you for saving my life. And give me a call if somehow you find this and find me. Love you. Let's get married. XOXO.
In front of me? In front of me?
Yeah, you could come too. You could be a part of it.
Thanks. You're invited.
You're invited. But next week's episode is I Speed Date.
Ooh.
And we can't wait for you to rewatch it with us.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Tune in next time. Bye. You down in the bayou, down in the bayou. I got my shrimps and gators down in the bayou, down in the bayou. I got my shrimps and gators. I got my oysters too. I'm in New Orleans too, and it's so fun for you. Okay, thanks for listening. Bye.
If you love I Rewatch iCarly, go ahead and leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app or rate us on Spotify. And if you want a chance to be Pod Babe of the Week,
be sure to check out our Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook page at I Rewatch iCarly for more content.
And head over to our YouTube channel for extended uncut videos of each episode.
You can also find Cersei at Cersei.mp3 on Instagram.
And you can find Natalie at Natalie R. Collins on Instagram,
where the rest of our social media is linked in our bios.
Disclaimer, I Rewatch iCarly is not affiliated with iCarly or Nickelodeon in any way, shape, or form. We shall not be held responsible and or liable for anything we say. Anyone listening to our podcast agrees to not hold us liable for what we say or display. We are merely a third-party conglomeration of stories and theories about or pertaining to iCarly, its cast, and creators. Said theories or stories may or may not use real names, always in semi-real and slash or mostly or substantially fictitious ways. This podcast is for entertainment purposes only, and if you choose to take anything we say 100% seriously, you are an idiot. But we are also idiots who don't mean anything we say. Long story short, free speech, fair use, you can't sue us because we're making it up. Good day.